In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I direct your attention to the communion verse of today's Mass. One thing I have asked of the Lord, this I will seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Whose house? The Father's house. Today on Father's Day, let's linger there in his house, the temple. Revisiting last Sunday's subject, the fifth joyful mystery, seeing the Son who is about his Father's business. And what do you think his business is? This baccalaureate Mass, remember, the Son's business is to be the greatest teacher of all time and the very best student. You might call him a graduate student about to receive his master's degree in business. He's a business major, but his only business is that of his eternal Father. Some of you may remember a German priest, Father Gunther Richter, who helped us in the 1980s, off and on. Well, about 1990-91, Father Richter was convinced that the persecution was coming very soon, and he had better come up with some kind of a cover for himself so he could survive. He resolved to seek training as a foreign car mechanic. German cars, particularly, of course. And he got himself a job, a sort of an on-the-job training situation at a garage in Miami. He didn't last too long. And the next time after that that we spoke, I asked him what happened. Remember, Father Richter is, of course, quite a character. He said to me, quite seriously, he said, "Oh, it's not easy when you know more than all of your teachers." Well, be that as it may for that good priest, it is a fact that it is with certain teachers fairly easy to provoke a little tinge of anger when a student is right and the teacher is wrong. And just about anybody can evoke that same reaction in another just by being right. This is, remember, one of the dynamics of the fifth joyful mystery. You don't have to go and attack someone's beliefs simply to offer teaching which is obviously true by your words or by your way of life, is to court unpopularity. And as Father Richter feared, perhaps persecution, and who knows, even martyrdom. People whose beliefs lack logical roots. That's why we study our faith and apologetics. People don't really have profound convictions about their religion, say, or who have never really thought it through, or maybe are even a little bit hypocritical. These kinds of folk get awfully offended in a religious or political discussion, and they usually move to eliminate the troublemaker. So you get yourself banned from the blog or expelled from the society. Veritas odium parit. Terentius, the great Roman dramatist, said those words, and St. Augustine quotes them approvingly. Truth gives birth to hatred, not only for teachers, but for clergy or speakers, writers, anyone who has built a career and a substantial following for himself by expounding faulty theories or teachings is very sensitive to the pinprick of truth. That is why Socrates was poisoned. And that long before our Lord was sent to the cross by the Jews for being right. And Joan of Arc burned at the stake centuries later. Innocent, of any crime save the unpardonable offense of telling the truth, and perhaps incidentally making someone else look a little silly. This is something to meditate on in the fifth joyful mystery, religious discussions and controversies of the day, but also the student-teacher relationship, because there our Lord sits in the temple. He is the student and he's the teacher at the same time. Some of the mystics say that our Lord was quizzed by the rabbis, by the doctors of the law, not only on scripture or religion, but on all sorts of subjects, because they were trying to trip him up, these envious, outflanked teachers. They were searching for a flaw, and gradually they grew angrier and angrier with our Lord. But others say that our Lord simply and clearly, by asking questions, opened up the sense of the scriptures to them to show that he was indeed the promised Messiah. Now, our Lord persevered in this classic classroom technique of antiquity. That's how he always taught. He, the greatest of all teachers, listening and asking questions. Mary of Agreda says that the teachers were drawn to Jesus by his beautiful countenance, and they listened willingly, attentively. And St. Luke says they were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. Or, in your meditation, you could take one question, one line of this mystery. Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. The seat of wisdom comes in, and she interrupts the class that day. Our Lord's answer is calm and lofty. He responds very gently to his mother, turning the question on the word father, which means everything to this son. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? Behold, the first recorded word of the eternal word made flesh takes place in a classroom and concerns his father. The last word of God the Son takes place in the classroom of the cross at Calvary, and also concerns his father. This son has come only to do the father's will. Nothing, no one will be allowed to interfere with it, and certainly not because of suffering. How much suffering is required for your own sanctification? Why do you flee from it so? And for the salvation of your soul and that of others. This suffering is stock in the Father's business, and you will go bankrupt unless you learn to invest in it now and wisely. And at times it means this investment that you must trample over the rights of family or friends, affinity, nature, or blood, to yield to them, which is very popular to do nowadays, I mean to compromise what you know to be Catholic principle because of pressure from the family. Why, that's a popular sin, but that is a sin which takes away from the will of God. You understand this. But St. Luke writes in this gospel, they understood not the word that he said unto them. For me, this has always been a hard line to understand. And you can ponder something, a truth, when you're doing a decade of the rosary. Good way not to be distracted. You're really thinking. The mystics and most writers take these words of St. Luke at face value. Mary of Agreda is helpful here. She explains how Our Lady and Our Lord's foster father were so overwhelmed with joy to see our Lord that they couldn't focus on any other thought. They were only human, after all, but that Mary, St. Luke notes twice in his gospel, carefully guarded all of these words in her heart. But certainly Our Lady in her heart knew perfectly well the meaning of those words, and St. Joseph in his pure heart had come to understand the divine design as well. So what is the explanation? The fathers of the church say this, that the word they, as in understood not, refers to the rabbis, to the teachers in the temple, because all day long they were missing the lesson, and they never identified the teacher in their midst. Not Mary and Joseph. This makes much more sense to me. Some writers point out that it seems that St. Luke is occasionally ambiguous in his use of a pronoun, which should be a comfort to students who've ever been corrected, or even to writers who may get caught up short. St. Luke, remember, is the original ghostwriter, the Holy Ghost writer of God's own word. But we understand all of these words, don't we? The mystery of the Sacred Heart and the meekness which is inculcated in today's epistle and gospel, meekness towards his father and then towards his mother in the temple and now going down to Nazareth for 18 years, meekness and obedience to his foster father. You understand, don't you? Are you a child, or maybe a grown-up child, who grieves gratuitously, unnecessarily, his own mother and father? Are there any of you today who are grieving this mother and this father? Do they have to search for you, lost in the state of sin and grieving, and then ask you, why did you do that? That's a good question to ask. That, too, could banish distractions for a decade or so. And then this one, have you ever been subject to anyone in authority? I mean, really, and respectfully, and readily. That's a good meditation. Listen to them, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Learn to listen to our Lord. Linger with him in his Father's house. The divine teacher's technique, his lesson plan, has never changed. Listening to them, asking them questions. A last rosary thought for this mystery. He teaches us how to conduct a conversation with men. Don't we sometimes complain, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. How to be pleasant, how to listen, and then to speak, to ask questions, to show you are listening. And then a conversation with God, he shows us how to pray, to listen to our Lord, to ask him questions, and to try to answer the questions our Lord may ask us. But ask him today, won't you? Never, you and your children, never to grow up and away, and never again to leave our Father's house. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.